Hi, I'm Steve G. Jones, clinical hypnotherapist, and I want to tell you a little bit about myself before we get started. I have a bachelor's degree in psychology from the University of Florida, a master's degree in education from Armstrong Atlantic State University, and a doctorate in education from Georgia Southern University. I'm a certified clinical hypnotherapist, a member of both the American Board of Hypnotherapy and the National Guild of Hypnotists, and I'm president of the American Alliance of Hypnotists. I'm the director of the Steve G. Jones School of Clinical Hypnotherapy. I also serve on the board of directors of the American Lung Association in Los Angeles. I have over 2 decades of experience in hypnotherapy, and I still maintain a busy practice and teaching schedule because I see clients and teach classes worldwide. My client base consists mainly of people who want to lose weight, stop smoking, or gain confidence. Other clients include sales teams interested in boosting motivation and increasing income. Also, singles looking for love, insomniacs desiring proper sleep, and actors desiring more confidence for their next audition. When I travel to see clients and teach hypnotherapy certification classes around the world, I visit such places as Tokyo, Japan, Barcelona, Spain, Paris, France, London, England, Montreal, Canada, Los Angeles, California, and New York, just to name a few. By the way, since you have an interest in hypnosis, perhaps you'd be interested in becoming a certified clinical hypnotherapist. It's very easy to do. All you have to do is go to my website, betterlivingwithhypnosis.com, and click on Hypnosis Classes at the top. You can either train in person or online. After your training, you'll be added to our worldwide directory of certified clinical hypnotherapists, and you'll receive a certificate. I was fortunate for many years to have my office in Beverly Hills, California, where I worked with such wonderful people as Tom Mankiewicz, the writer of Superman, Geraldine Saunders, the writer of The Love Boat, and many other celebrities. I have been interviewed on CNN, Fox News, and appeared on True TV, in addition to having my own hypnosis TV show. With my over 20 years of experience, I'm happy to share with you techniques that I've both developed and learned which can help you improve your life. I encourage you to visit my website, betterlivingwithhypnosis.com. There you will find my life's work, 22 books on hypnotherapy, over 3,000 hypnosis recordings available as downloadable MP3s or CDs, and these recordings will program your mind to achieve goals in such areas as weight loss, motivation, and stopping smoking. I also have audiobooks, such as this one, where I'm talking with you and sharing with you in a very dynamic way techniques that you can use to improve your life and the way you do things. The reason I'm telling you all of this is not to impress you, but to impress upon you that I, your teacher, am very capable and I know what I'm talking about. I'm also very happy for the opportunity to share this information with you, so rest assured that you're in good hands and let's have some fun as we now expand your knowledge. I wish you well in all of your endeavors and please be sure to visit my website, betterlivingwithhypnosis.com. Welcome to the module that's going to teach you how to read tarot cards. But beyond that, it's going to get you in touch with that intuitive part of yourself. Tarot cards speak to us in symbols, but so does our subconscious mind. The dreams that we have speak to us in symbols. And there's so many symbols in our lives that we hold near and dear. There are symbols for countries. There are flags. There are crests, which represent families. There are also symbolic gestures, such as getting married, which symbolizes the union of two people. So symbols are very important to us. We strongly relate to them. We are naturally programmed to understand them. And so the tarot gives us something in our own native language. No matter who we are, our own native language is a symbolic language, and therefore it is tarot. Although the tarot does involve some very deep symbolism, I am going to, throughout this program, keep everything at a very understandable level. So rather than delving deeply into the various meanings and various facets of meanings of different symbols, I am going to present to you something very useful, something that you can take and you can use in your everyday life, because I think that is what's going to really stick in your mind after you finish this program, and that is what's going to be very beneficial to you throughout your life. So my experience teaches me that people really enjoy something they can use, something straightforward. So the wisdom of that experience tells me that I should present to you the tarot in a very straightforward way. So that's what I'm going to do. Let's get an overview of the tarot. The tarot is a tool through which we can access information in the universe. We can wake ourselves up intuitively. We can put ourselves in touch with our inner world, with what's going on inside our subconscious minds. The tarot can also put us in touch with everyday situations. If we have questions about what's going on in our lives and what that means for us and how we should proceed, the tarot can be tremendously valuable because it can get information from our souls and our subconscious minds out in front of us where we can view it. Then all we need to do is understand how to read the symbols, and we have a pattern we can follow. So the tarot has many fascinating applications, such as spiritual growth, understanding of the self, stimulating our intuition, brainstorming, clarifying decisions, analyzing challenges, and just reflecting on our lives or on what we're doing. The tarot can give us a fresh view on what we're looking at. Sometimes we get so caught up in our thinking that we limit ourselves to just our cognitive ability to process information. Well, when we involve the tarot, we're tapping into the spirit world and we're tapping into our subconscious minds. So we have three powers working for us. We have our own cognitive abilities, we have our powerful subconscious minds, and we have access to the entire spirit world. Let's focus in now on the tarot deck itself. Generally, there are 78 cards, and they're very similar to a modern deck of playing cards. There are three types of cards. There are 22 trumps, there are 40 pips, and there are 16 court cards. There are 72 cards in the major arcana, which is the greater secrets, or as I said a moment ago, the trumps, and 56 minor arcana cards. These are the lesser secrets. And these comprise the 40 pip cards that I mentioned before and the 16 court cards. Court cards are also called people cards. Now, the major arcana are very interesting. And let's focus our attention on that. And by the way, I've heard this word pronounced arcana and arcana. So let's look at the major arcana trumps. They predict the fool's journey toward enlightenment. And they represent situations of spiritual and personal growth, different states of both. Let's take a look at the 40 pip cards. They have four suits, cups, swords, pentacles, and wands. There are 10 cards in each suit. The pip cards are typical emotional states and situations that we humans find ourselves in. All of the things that happen to us on a regular basis just by virtue of living our lives the way we normally do. Our typical actions, our beliefs, our attitudes, what we struggle with, just basically what happens with us on a day-to-day basis. The people or court cards, remember there are 16 of them, consist of pages, knights, queens, and kings of each of the four suits. And these cards represent our relationships. They represent the people we come in contact to, our loved ones, our friends, and so forth. But they also represent parts of us, parts of who we are, our faults, our talents, our traits, how we get along with people. Now, a queen or a king represents someone of authority, someone of stature, such as our parents or our elders. Knights suggest action being taken. They suggest energy and courage and activity. Pages represent younger people. And often pages, as was their job back in their time, pages bring information to us. They bring news to us. So to wrap all this up for you, there are 78 cards. You've got 22 major arcana, also called trump cards, and they're about the fool's journey toward enlightenment. Now, don't take the word fool to mean anything negative or derogatory. And secondly, there are the 56 minor arcana, which are made up of the 16 court cards, king, queen, knight, page in each suit, and the 40 pip cards, which are ace through 10 in each suit. So very similar to a standard deck of playing cards. So let's take a look now at how to lay the cards out. I want you to realize that there's no absolutely correct way to lay the cards out. People who read tarot cards have their own way that they are accustomed to. But it doesn't mean that you have to do it the way they do it. And it doesn't mean that they're wrong for doing it their way versus your way. I'm going to teach you several ways to lay them out, and I want you to pick one that you like. Two of these spreads or ways of laying out the cards that are popular among tarot card readers are the horoscope spread and the Celtic cross spread. Now, Celtic is spelled C-E-L-T-I-C, but pronounced with a K, Celtic. So the idea is that each position means something. So if a card falls in a certain position, that position has a message for you based on what you see on the card. So when you read a card, it's going to depend on a number of things. First of all, where it is in the spread. Second of all, the cards that are around it. Third, the nature of the type of question you're asking. And fourth, and certainly not least, the card reader's own intuition and how spiritually aware they are, which, as you get comfortable reading tarot cards, is going to come into play more and more for you. You're going to be able to tune in more deeply to your natural intuition. When you start doing something, you usually do it by rote. You do it exactly the way you're supposed to do it. When you ride a bicycle, both hands on the handlebars, facing straight ahead, and so forth. Why? Well, mostly out of fear. You want to do it the right way, and you want to make sure you stay on the bike. But after you've been riding a bike for a while, maybe you want to experiment. Maybe you take your hands off the handlebars for a little while and just kind of coast. And maybe if you feel uneasy, you can put them back on. Maybe you can get into stunt riding, where you stand up on your seat and do even more fascinating things. But it all starts with the basics. Most people who do something do it the way the book says first, and then they branch out from there after they get comfortable. So that's what I want you to do. Start using your intuition more. As time goes on, rely less on this program and books and more on your intuition. You can even go so far as to create your own spreads as you progress in your understanding of tarot. So eventually you're going to have your own spread or spreads that work for you. Let's talk about picking your tarot deck. Now, if you've already picked one, you can always pick another one. There are so many different tarot decks available, and if you go into a metaphysical bookstore or if you go on a metaphysical website, you're going to find this to be the case. A lot of different options. The reason is that there are a lot of different personalities out there. People want something that resonates with them. So if you look at all the tarot card decks and you're thinking, which one am I going to get out of so many? Well, first of all, I recommend not ordering them online because you're not really going to get a sense of them. You may get them and they may arrive and you may not feel right about them. Plus, when you order at a store, you can feel the actual cards that you are going to buy, not just the type of card, but you can feel the actual cards and see if they resonate with you. So I want you to realize that you're going to have these cards for a while, and they're going to need to be durable. You're going to want to pick cards that don't seem flimsy or cheap, that seem like they're going to hold up over time. Now, cards will get a little bit of wear on them, and that can kind of be interesting. They get their own personality, and that's okay. But pick cards that you feel are going to hold up over time. Also, pick cards that you just like looking at. You enjoy the images, and make sure you enjoy the way they feel, because you're going to be handling them quite a bit. You can have several different tarot decks, that's fine. Most people who read tarot cards don't want other people touching the cards, and that's your personal choice. You may want them to or not want them to, but generally the only time that someone will ever touch a tarot deck of somebody else's is when a reading is being done for that person. Otherwise, the tarot deck is kept in a special place and away from human hands, and it's not just a plaything. And the reason is fairly obvious. You want to make sure that the energy around the tarot is as pure as possible. It's not for show and tell. It's not for playtime. It's for serious study of spiritual matters and getting information that's accurate. And so you want to make sure it's not watered down. You want to make sure it's not affected negatively. So keep it in a special place. A lot of people like wrapping theirs in cloths, protective cloths, or a colorful handkerchief, and then perhaps putting the cards in a box. It's up to you. But the tarot deck is not something that you just throw in the junk drawer with your other playing cards. The tarot deck is something that if you want to get accurate, helpful information from it, you need to respect the process. You need to respect the tarot deck and what it represents, and that way you're going to have the most accurate results. Now, as I build you up to the horoscope spread and the Celtic cross spread, I want to share with you some more basic spreads that are going to sort of introduce you to the idea of using tarot cards. Take your cards, if you have them, and if you don't already have tarot cards, this would be a good time to get some before we continue on here. So pause this recording or stop it and get your tarot deck if you have one, and if you don't, go buy one, because you're going to need it handy for the rest of the program. So what I want to talk to you about now is the three-card spread. And all you do is shuffle your tarot cards any way you want to. And you can shuffle them for as long as you want to or as briefly as you want to. It doesn't matter. But shuffle your tarot cards. And then I want you to put down three cards face up. One, two, three, from left to right. Now, the one on the left represents the past. The one in the middle represents the present. and the one on the right represents the future. So the card on the left, which you drew first, and if you haven't put them down, go ahead and put down three cards in order from left to right. The one that you drew first shows something about the feelings or events that led to what's going on right now. That's what we call the past. The second card, the one in the middle, is about where you are right now, your present state in life. And the one on the right represents the future possibilities. Now keep that word in mind, that's an important word, the future possibilities, because we're not talking about the absolute future. If you read someone's tarot cards and you say, you're going to stand up and turn around three times, that's your future. Well, that person can hear that future and decide to do just the opposite. They can decide to sit down or just stand up and walk out. So we talk about future possibilities, not something written in stone. That's what the card on the right represents. Okay, now let's not worry about interpreting the cards right now. Let's just get some experience under your belt concerning laying out the cards. Okay, now reshuffle the cards. You can remember what you saw if you want to and analyze it later, but for right now, put those cards back in the deck and reshuffle the cards any way you want. You don't have to be a card dealer and shuffle them in a fancy way. You can just cut the deck a few times or swirl the cards around on the floor and pick a few cards out and put them on top and do that process again. It doesn't matter. As long as you're shuffling the cards, you're rearranging the order of the cards in some way. Okay. Now, after you shuffled the cards, if you want to cut the deck in half, you can. That means taking a few cards off the top, up to, I'd say, 50% of the cards off the top, putting them next to that deck, and putting the exposed part, which was the bottom, onto the top. So now the first card is the card that was about halfway down the deck. Okay. So if you want to cut the deck, go ahead. Then I want you to lay out five cards from left to right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Face up. Now when you lay out cards for other people, you may want to keep them face down until you're ready to turn them over because you don't want them being distracted by the next card when you're focusing on the current card. That's your choice, and it doesn't matter either way. But for right now, I want you to see all the cards because this is learning, and so I want you to lay them all face up. So now we've got five cards. The first two are past and present. The fifth one is what will most likely happen. Okay, so we've essentially got our three card spread, but we've got numbers 3 and 4 added to the mix. Number 3, counting from the left, is a card that represents influences that are hidden. And number 4 represents advice. So now it's a little more advanced, a little more interesting. So the first card represents things leading up to the situation, leading up to the present situation. The second card has to do with your current actions, feelings, and thoughts. The third card represents things that you may have overlooked, things that may be influencing the situation that you weren't aware of. Very helpful card. The fourth card is going to give you a practical suggestion about how to move forward. Because if you know what's going on and you know what might happen, how helpful is that unless you have some sort of advice coming from the tarot? And that's the power of the tarot, to give you some sort of a suggestion, not just to tell you what's going on and what's going to happen probably, but to advise you. So that's the fourth card's role. And of course, the fifth card is what will most likely happen. It's the possibility of the future. According to what the tarot sees, that's where you're headed. And after seeing what might happen, you can choose to make, or the person you're reading for can choose to make, different decisions and take different actions. Okay, so this has led us up to the horoscope spread. Reshuffle the cards. And this time you're going to lay out 12 cards in a circle, starting from the left and moving upwards. So if this were a clock that you're looking at on the floor or the table, you're going to start at the 9 o'clock position, that's card number 1, and you're going to go down to the 8 o'clock position, that's card number 2, the 7 o'clock position is card number 3, the 6 o'clock position is card number 4. So you're going counterclockwise, and number 12 card ends at the 10 o'clock position, right next to the number 1 card. And then you lay down one more card, the 13th card, right in the middle. Astrologers really enjoy this spread because the horoscope represents the life of the individual. Now, the final card in the middle, the 13th card, isn't necessary, but many people who read the tarot like to do that because it's what's called an indicator. It sort of sums up everything in the spread. So we refer to these as houses. You have 12 houses, and then you have the card in the middle, the summary of everything. So starting with number 1 in the 9 o'clock position and moving all the way to number 12, number 1 is the first house. This represents the self or the physical body, your appearance, your health, your sense of identity, your vitality, It could be the start of a business even, because that relates to vitality. The second house represents finances, wealth, income. It also represents resources and possessions, and it represents your values. The third house, and you may want to go back through this again a few times and just write these down, but the third house represents your conscious mind and writing and letters and phone calls, local travel, close relatives, also represents neighbors. Your fourth house represents your inner needs, your emotional security, your foundations, your roots, your real estate, your home, your elders. And the fourth house also represents your father. The fifth house represents vacation, fun, creative endeavors, pleasures, romance, games, gambling, hobbies, risks, speculation, and children. The sixth house represents service, sometimes drudgery or tedium, perfection. It also represents pets, your daily routine, your duty, your work, and it can represent illness. Your seventh house represents personal consultants or opponents or lawsuits or contracts, committed relationships, marriage, partners, your spouse or your mate. The eighth house, interestingly enough, represents death and taxes. But also, interestingly enough, sex is thrown into the eighth house as well. So you've got an interesting house there. It also represents personal transformation and deep understanding and occult interests, such as an interest in the tarot. It represents insurance. It represents your legacy. And it represents loans. It can also represent other people's money. So a very interesting house, the eighth house. The ninth house represents long-distance travel or foreign interests, or religion, philosophy, higher education, the law. Your 10th house represents your status, represents society, structure, discipline, your superiors, your ambition, your profession, your career. It also represents your mother. The 11th house represents your friends, also clubs and groups, and social activities, but it also represents hopes and wishes and humanitarian interests, and it represents advice. The 12th house represents secrets, meditation, psychological challenges. When I say challenges, by the way, that's not the word I like to use for problems, because I believe that a challenge is easier to imagine overcoming than a problem, but just understand I'm talking about psychological problems. It also represents hidden matters and confinement and solitude. Now, the signifier card, the middle card, when it's a court card, it usually represents a person. If it's a major arcana or pip card, it might signify a situation. Knights and kings logically represent men, the king being an older man. Queens and pages often represent women, queen being an older woman. Okay, so now you know how to do the three-card spread. You also know how to do the five-card spread. Both can be helpful, but you know a more interesting spread also, which is the horoscope spread. All right, let's take a little break now. I want to make sure that you're with me, that you're paying attention and that you're learning something. So what I want you to do right now is, if you're driving and you can pull over, go ahead and do that. If you're not driving, then you can definitely do this. You can take out a piece of paper and you can write down five things that you've learned so far from what I've said, five things that resonated with you. Now, I want you to keep in mind, they don't even have to be five things that I said. Maybe you got some good ideas from what I said. Maybe I said something and your brain took it and blew it up a million times and came up with all kinds of wonderful, amazing possibilities based on what I said. If that's the case, then feel free to write that down. I just want you to write down five things, whether they came from me or they're just thoughts that came in your head. Five things that have come to you so far, either from me saying them or from you thinking them, as a result of listening to this program so far. So as I'm silent, I'm going to give you ample time now. I want you to write down five things, five thoughts that you have as a result of listening to this program so far. Do this now. Okay, do you have your five things? If not, go ahead and finish them up. Five things, write them down. So I'm going to move forward now. Let's take those five things that you have written down, and I want you to elaborate on them. For example, if you have an insight number one, that's I should change blank about myself, whatever it may be, I want you to elaborate on that. Whatever you've written down for point number one, something that's come to you during listening to this program, I want you to elaborate on that now as I'm silent. Good. And now I want you to take point number two and elaborate on that. What was the second point that you wrote down, and how can you enhance this idea? I want you to make it real for yourself, because I want you to have, after you finish this program, something you can use. So on point number two, elaborate on it. Consider what you wrote down as point number two, the foundation. Now build a house on it. Go ahead and write down something now as I'm silent. Good. Now you're getting some momentum. Now for point three. Point number three that you wrote down, something that came to you as you listened to this program, I want you to elaborate on point number three as I'm silent. Good. Now take point number four, the fourth point that you wrote down, something that came to you while you're listening to this program. I want you to elaborate on point number four as I'm silent. Great. Last but not least, point number five. Take point number five and elaborate on it as I'm silent. Good. So now you have something that you can take with you after this program. You have those five points that you elaborated on, and you can use them after this program's over. So let's continue on with the information now.